Today's guest is Michael Daly, Chief Deputy Assessor, Santa Barbara County Clerk, Recorder, Assessor, and Elections Office. Michael's been the Chief Deputy Assessor for the County of Santa Barbara. He started his career in the Clerk, Recorder, Assessor's Office in 2013 as a property tax appraiser, handled commercial appraisal, transfers, new construction, appeals. He was promoted Chief Deputy Assessor in July 2022. I recommended him. He was born and raised in San Diego, went to UCSB, as did I, Northridge with a master's. He lives in Santa Barbara with his family. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Michael Daly.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me this morning.
You know that I recommended you for the job.
I do now.
I told Joe Holland if he doesn't hire you. So are you directly under Joe Holland?
That's right. Yep. He has three chief deputies, one for each division of the department, clerk, recorder, assessor, and then the registrar.
I want to say the deputy chief assessor, but chief deputy assessor. That's the way it goes.
The point.
Yeah. All right. All right. And then I announced in the first segment, right before coming on the air live, I got an email from First American Title that there's a March 11th webinar with you and Alameda County Assessor, hosted by First American Title. And if anyone wants the link to sign up, they can text me at 805-452-2428 or email me at mark@radioRealEstate.com. And coincidentally, here you are to talk about Prop 19.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get a little bit of a sneak preview. That one will be a really big webinar with a lot of attendees, I imagine, but I'll be on the panel for that as well, and they should have some good information and Q&A.
All right,
so
well,
a great resource, yeah.
You start with the basics. Prop 19, you know, when did it happen, and what are the major impacts to everybody?
Yeah, so Prop 19 came around a few years back, and voters approved it, and it became effective 2021. There's two different components of it in a nutshell. There's the base year value transfers, which is people over 55, disabled, victims of wildfire or natural disasters. They can transfer their base values. Used to be that you could only do that, you know, within your county or to certain other counties. Now those transfers are allowed throughout the state of California, and they've changed some other criteria about how those base year transfers are structured. So that's one component of Prop 19, and then the other, which you know, is the more that's changed a lot and has impacted a lot of people and gets a lot of attention, both from realtors and obviously, you know, buyers and sellers of homes, is the intergenerational transfer. And that changed pretty significantly now, where it used to be you could, you know, transfer your base to your children or to your grandchildren, you know, for multiple properties. Now there's a primary residence criteria that it changed it and limited the benefit of that property tax exclusion. So
give us an example.
High level overview.
Give us an example. You mentioned children and grandchildren, but that caveat was only if your children had passed away. You could then transfer it to your grandchild. Is that correct?
That's right. It's parent to child. It's only grandparent to grandchild if the parent is deceased.
Okay. You can still do it. But it has to be the parent's primary residence, and the child receiving this benefit has to use it as their primary residence. Is that correct?
That's essentially it. When the property is passed along, the beneficiary, the child, so to speak, that's receiving the property, they have to have it as their primary residence, and the way that we administrate that or track that is through the homeowner's exemption. So, you know, you have to file the homeowner's exemption on the property within a year, and that is how we kind of gauge that it is indeed your primary residence. And then the other part of it too is it's not just you occupy it as your primary residence and then maybe a couple of years later you go live somewhere else. You have to continually live there. If you move out and it's no longer your primary residence, then the exclusion benefit comes off and we put a market value on the property.
My guest, Michael Daly, Chief Deputy Assessor of the County of Santa Barbara. Now, we don't want to encourage anyone to be scofflaws, but if one moved out and then still used the homeowner's exemption, maybe didn't buy another property, and rented it out, are you going to find out?
It's hard. It's difficult for us to know that. I suppose there are ways we could discover that, but and no, not to encourage scofflaws, but we definitely it definitely would help to be notified. But there could be ways we discover it, but
right,
yeah,
just by happenstance or now. Guido Sigmonzio, he died recently. He was a tailor. I knew him for many, many years. And he lived in a house, and he was leaving it to his son, and the son was going to be able to keep the tax base and live there. As I recall, this got a lot of notoriety because there was a famous actor's family that left a house right on the beach in Malibu that was worth gazillions of dollars. And they were paying, $40 a year in taxes, and then they were renting it out for gazillions of dollars. So that kind of was like, hey, that's not fair. So that kind of, wanted to fix something with a pushpin and use the sledgehammer. Some people's opinion, other people think, hey, it's not fair. You got Prop 13, you got a low tax base, but move on. It's got to be reassessed eventually. So this is kind of maybe a different topic, but when a parent dies, how quickly, and it's being left to a child, or it's being left to several children and no one's going to really take it as their primary, so they're not going to file. I assume when a parent dies, you want to immediately file something to retain the tax base, correct?
That's right. There's claim forms that you'd file with us, with our office, and you want to do that. There's different different deadlines depending on the scenario, but you want to do it within a year is ideal. That includes filing the homeowner's exemption.
Does your office receive notifications from the coroner's office that someone passed away so you could say, oh, maybe we need to reassess this property, or how does that work?
Yeah, not directly. Not always. We don't always find out about a date of death immediately. There could be death certificates do come through our clerk recorder's office, and then we're notified that way. But sometimes, it may get missed, or we may not know of it.
If someone hasn't filled out the claim, if you get notified that someone died before you reassess it, do they have an opportunity to say, oh, no, I'm going to fill out this claim form, so please don't reassess it, or?
We're very, very sensitive to deaths of when deaths occur. We know that, we understand, we're human, we know it's a hard time, and so there's a bit of grace period in that. We will certainly take the filing after the fact. There is a good amount of time for folks to submit those filings. Ultimately, but you do want to file, though. Otherwise, if we don't know about it, the thing about that is that years later could, when we do discover it, it's not like, okay, we'll fix this going forward. We go back and correct it back to the date of death. So there's really no getting around it or avoiding it. Eventually it'll catch up.
There you go. Be proactive. I know it's a tough time when a child loses a parent, but just like people have to have a trust and a will, and you need to do this. My guest, Michael Daly, Chief Deputy Assessor, County of Santa Barbara, Clerk Recorder, Assessor and Elections Office. talking about Prop 19. So you started off effective around 2021, voted in, and two main components. We're talking about the intergenerational transfer, but the first thing you said was about someone being able to sell their house, buy another house, and transfer their low tax base to any county. Used to be the Santa Barbara County would not accept it, and there were only maybe five or seven. It varied. Now all, are there 58 counties?
That's right, 58 counties.
So that's a big deal. And what's the requirement in terms of the price? Is it you have to buy down or 105% the first year, 110? Is that something I remember? Or?
That's right. There's and I can go and look. What I forgot, really important to plug, if you know, there's so many different scenarios, and it's difficult for me to get into specifics. I don't want to, you know, mislead anybody. The best thing to do, any questions about Prop 19, go to the Board of Equalization's website. It has a ton of information, frequently asked questions, kind of can help you work through your scenario. It explains these market, you know, value caps that exist for for base year value transfers, the 100%, 105%, 110% criteria, the $1 million cap. It explains all that. It's very hard for me to explain in words. It's much easier to see in writing or see an example written out.
Remind me again about the $1 million cap.
Yeah, so there's the exclusion amount is it's a up to $1 million in value. So I'm trying to think of an example here where, say, you had a base value of say $300,000, but the market value of the property is $1.5 million. So your exclusion amount is the $1 million on top of the $300,000, $1.3 million, and then the difference is what would get tacked on. So it's a bit of a math equation. We have to do it with all these that come through.
Okay, and you allow the first $1 million to be excluded.
That's right, exactly.
Okay,
There's different criteria, I guess, for, it depends on, there's different eligibility and exclusions for different types of base value transfers, whether it's your 55 or over, you're disabled, or you've dealt with a natural disaster. But again, the Board of Equalization site is great, boe.ca.gov, and you go to property taxes and you can read all the different rules about it and see examples written out. So
you might find your own. Well, you know what? I'm going to write that down, or if you could email me the link, I'll put it up on the podcast at radiorealestate.com, and that would be helpful. And I thought your off-the-cuff example of someone who had a $300,000 basis and then they were going to sell their house for $1.5 million, that probably rings true for a lot of people in simple, you know, tract homes in, Goleta, Santa Barbara, some. And so that makes sense. My guest, Michael Daly, Chief Deputy Assessor, the County of Santa Barbara, one of three deputies under Joe Holland. And we're talking about Prop 19. Also, in someone wanting to transfer their tax base, be able to move, I don't know if anyone's tracking. Wonder how many people took advantage of that. I wonder if that's, and what's the impact now that Santa Barbara has to accept a low tax base versus, is anyone?
Yeah, we do track revenue gain and loss. That's something it is a statewide system. We get notices from other counties, we notify other counties, and then each county is responsible for tracking the revenue gain and loss based on these transfer exclusions. There's supposed to be a state subsidy for those that lose, and I think we're a little on the losing side. It's we're still tracking, getting used to the tracking of it year over year, and it can vary. I think we've lost a little revenue, but it's not. I don't think it's been extremely substantial.
Would the counties that maybe generated increased in revenue, would they then want to put that back in the pot, so then reimburse a county that lost some revenue?
That's in theory supposed to be what is supposed to happen, is that the state then reimburses those counties that have lost. But it's such a new program. I think that's still there's still some want for that to be developed. But
so
we do have a requirement by law to track the, you know, the like I said, the revenue gain loss in concert with the auditor's office here.
We're talking about Prop 19, which changed a lot. Two main things are transferring your tax base. Good thing. I know that the Santa Barbara Association of the California Association of Realtors ended up supporting Prop 19, much to the dismay of many people who didn't like the downside of the intergenerational sale. But the transfer of your low tax base throughout all the counties, that's a win. I'm remembering pre-Prop 19 that you could transfer your tax base if you bought essentially equal or lesser value, and you can only do it once. But then there was a case, like if you had a medical issue, like you bought a two-story house and then suddenly you couldn't get up the stairs, there was an exemption. And then you mentioned wildfires. So someone already used Prop 19 once, transferred their tax base, and then they lost their house in a wildfire. They could use it a second time. Does that still exist?
You know, I think there's a limit on how many times you can do it now. I want to say, and I can look. I don't have the stuff completely.
Because I always thought the limit was you can only use it once, and then there was just a couple of exceptions, you know, unusual exceptions. Like I mentioned, you know, suddenly you can't go up the stairs. You're forced to buy another house.
Yeah, there always are these kind of unique scenarios that the law tries to allow for, and you know, it really takes some judgment and some. You know, we have to apply the spirit and intent of the law as, you know, as equitably as possible across all the scenarios we get. But, I'm just looking for the look up. Cause
my guest, Michael Daly, he's the Chief Deputy Assessor of Santa Barbara County, Clerk, Recorder, Assessor and Elections Office. And plus, he's doing a webinar with Alameda County Assessor, hosted by First American Title, March 11th. If you want the link to that webinar, text me at 805-452-2428 or email me mark@radiorealestate.com. Mark with a K, of course. Of course is with a C. But
And Mark, just to answer your question real quick, get back to that. So it used to be the base year value transfers. I'll just give the example of the over 55. It was a one-time, and you're right, there were some exceptions for if there was a disability occurrence. But now it's three times is the limit on how many times you can do a transfer.
Oh, with three times no matter what, or with certain restrictions?
I'm sure there may be some things in the law that may cause some exception, but in general, they changed it to be three times.
Oh, I did. Okay, well, that's interesting. That's interesting.
That's just for 55 and over. And
did you like the way I did that little commercial segue to allow you time to look that up?
Yes, thank you. You bought me some time to go look at it because I didn't want to get it wrong.
It's complicated. It's complicated.
You know, it is.
It's
complicated for us even. Yeah.
We're coming up against a break. I just to finish this topic before we got into new construction and what's reassessable, I wanted to ask you something about commercial property. Should we save that for the other side of the break, or is that
either way, up to you. I'm happy to answer.
You know what? Let's take a break. My guest, Michael Daly, Chief Deputy Assessor, we're talking about Prop 19. We'll finish up the conversation about Prop 19, asking about commercial property, and then the next topic is new construction. How is it reassessable? What isn't? And potentially ADUs and maybe a little update on the impact of the LA fires in Santa Barbara real estate. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.